If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's a wonderful book. We're going to be in chapter number 1. And I don't know how long we're going to be in this message because there's 7 things God wants me to cover in the message. And I just want to mind the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read along in the Bible and say what God has put on my heart. Stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter number 1. In verse number 5, the Word of God said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Brother Chris, come up here and lead us in prayer, would you please? And then we'll get right into the message God's put in our heart.
Father, Lord, we come before you. And Lord, we can only do that, Father, because you sent your only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Father, how we take that for granted, Lord, but we come before a holy God this morning. And Father, we sent your presence. And Lord, as we open up your precious word, God, we beg you, Lord, that you would, Father, speak to our hearts, that you would erase, Lord, the things of this world from our minds, Lord, that we would be so in tune with your Spirit. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning and they've never been born again, Lord, they've never been made a new creature in Christ, Lord, I pray, God, that you would make that very well known to their hearts. And Lord, that they would see their sin, and Lord, that they would see the Savior and that they would trust him by faith. And Father, as our pastor comes and opens up your word, Lord, I pray, God, that you would anoint him and touch him, Lord. We believe, Lord, that he has the message for the hour. God, use him, Lord, in a mighty way. Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank all of those that are praying today. I want to, in the service today, I want to examine, probably tonight as well, I want to examine Nehemiah's prayer for his nation. I don't want anybody to mistake the message this morning. I love America. But Nehemiah's heart was broken by what was going on in the nation of Israel. I believe many men and women have bled and died who would be broken over some of the things that are going on in our country, even in our churches. I've said for years that blame is trying to be laid at the steps of the White House when much of it needs to be laid at the steps of God's house. Pulpits have quit thundering against sin. We've come to a society where it's just fine to shack up. It's just fine to get drunk. I don't know if you've been watching anything that's going on in California, but thank God for a young man that God's raising up, amen, that understands that the drugs is the problem and has a desire to address the problem instead of putting Band-Aids on it, amen. And this morning as I look at the nation and as I want to look at Nehemiah's prayer for the nation, I thought I would look up some statistics. I want to ask you a question. Is our nation worth praying for? Is our nation worth praying for? You say, Pastor, we got some leaders I don't like, or we got some leaders that I do like. God didn't tell us to pray for the leaders that we like or don't like. He said, pray for those that are in authority over us. Some of God's people hate that word, authority. But God has set down an order in His Word. And there is a chain of command in the military. And there is a chain of command among God's people. Amen? There's a chain of command in the home. And when that chain's messed up, it's messed up. Amen? God is to be the head of the man, and the man is to be the head of the home. Not a 2-year-old, not a 5-year-old, not a 15-year-old. Not the wife, but the man is to be the head of the home. A church can only have one pastor. A pastor can have assistants, can have many assistants, but it can only have one pastor. Amen? And God has something in mind when He's talking through Nehemiah and Nehemiah's prayer line. Let me say this morning. You and I, as God's people, how many know the Lord this morning? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand right here, but how many of you have had a wonderful conversation with Him this morning already? You understand that's what prayer is talking to God? Aren't you glad God gave us a Bible and let us in on some of these men's prayers like Nehemiah? Let us see His heart. There are men and women that deemed this nation worth dying for. Surely, you and I could deem this nation worth praying for.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have a couple of my grandchildren with me today. I'm 66 years old. According to nature, my race is well nigh run. I sure hope America's still free when they're my age, if Jesus don't come. I hope a man of God can get in the pulpit and open the Word of God unashamedly and preach the gospel when they're my age, if Jesus don't come. But I will tell you this, I believe a lot of it depends on the prayers of God's people. In Nehemiah's day, they were in bondage. And God wanted to deliver them from that bondage. Looking back at some of the statistics, in the American Revolutionary War, approximately 4,435 people died in combat. 6,188 were wounded. In the Civil War, the deadliest U.S. conflict, ranging from 620,000 to 750,000 military deaths. The Battle of Gettysburg alone caused over 7,000 fatalities. World War I, around 116,000 U.S. military deaths. In World War II, approximately 405,000 U.S. military deaths. As I read these numbers, let me say this to you. You might say, Pastor, why would you even mention that? Do you understand these were somebody's son?
Yes, that's right.
They were somebody's brother.
Amen.
They were somebody's daddy.
Yeah, right.
Daddy went off, and daddy never come home.
Amen.
They were somebody's friend. I want to ask our veterans who are here today, how many of you came home without a friend after you went over there? Amen. You lost somebody that you loved dearly, that you fought alongside of. In the Korean War, 36,500 U.S. military deaths. In the Vietnam War, roughly 58,000 military deaths. And is it not a shame what went on in this country after the Vietnam War? I said it's a shame. A soldier should have been hugged, not spit upon. The Persian Gulf War, around 300 U.S. military deaths. In the War on Terror, 2001 to present, over 7,000. I didn't mean to say this morning, but there are decisions being made right now concerning Iran. God's people ought to be praying. I will say this, and I will stand beside it. Dealing with the devil is dangerous. What good is a piece of paper if it's a liar that's signing it? And has already proven that they're liars. Nehemiah's burdened. In the book of Nehemiah, it's telling the story of the physical and the spiritual restoration of Jerusalem. They rebuild the walls in just 52 days. It's unbelievable what they were able to accomplish. I was in Knoxville yesterday, and there was a great big crane set up at a building site. They didn't have those great big cranes to move those stones. And yet, a little people, oh, with a big God. You know, that's what we are. We're just a little people. You remember what Samuel said to Saul? When you were little in your own sight, I believe this morning it'd do every one of us good to realize how little we are. And how big our God is. In the book of Ezra, the Jewish exiles were going from Babylon to rebuild the temple and to restore their spiritual identity. You say, I don't know why you'd mention Ezra. You will in a moment. The first thing I want to see in Nehemiah's prayer for his nation is probably the most difficult thing you and I will have to deal with in our prayer life. Here's what it is. Repentance.
Amen.
Now you say, Pastor, why would you start a message on a man praying for his nation? Why would you start that message on repentance? Simply because of this. The Word of God teaches us that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the rest of my prayer is a waste of time.
Amen.
If I've got something in there and I know it's there, and I refuse to deal with it, I refuse to confess it to God. Aren't you glad that we have the story of Nehemiah? But don't you understand it started with a man that saw the need. Not only in the nation, if you read the text I read to you a while ago, both I and my father's house have sinned. I love that about the Old Testament. Men of God, they identified with the sins of the nation. Never, never, never do you find them saying, it's them, it's them, it's them, it's them, bless God, it's them. No, no, no. Men of God are saying, it's us! It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Amen.
A prayer of repentance. Let's pick up in verse number 7. He said, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather thee from thence, and will bring them unto this place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Nehemiah begins his prayer with a prayer of repentance. The Word of God said this. I know it's not popular, but it's still true. If my people, which are called by my name, God said, shall humble themselves and pray. You know why some will never repent? It's because they will never humble themselves. The Bible said that God will draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. You want God to stiff arm you? Stay in your pride. You want God to bring you in real close? You humble yourself.
Amen.
In the sight of God. That's what Nehemiah's doing here. He's humbling himself. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's not, now I lay me down to sleep. That's going to take a little time. That's going to take a little effort. God wants us to know that it's worth it all.
Amen.
Our country's worth praying for.
Amen.
Our children are worth praying for. Our community is worth praying for. Our church is worth praying for.
Amen.
And it begins with repentance. You say, wonder where Nehemiah got this idea from. Turn with me back to the book of Ezra, please. Ezra chapter number 9. We may not get any further than this morning, but this is where God's leading. God's helped me this week. I was in a meeting in Murfreesboro, and some wonderful fellowship, some wonderful preaching. I got to visit with Abram this week, and he seems to be doing well, and I thank the Lord for that. But God has been dealing with me in my prayer life. And I appreciate the Lord. Where did Nehemiah come up with this? I tell you what I believe. I believe he had a great example. Brother Chris, we can't expect our young'uns to pray if we don't. We can't expect our church to pray if the pastor don't. We can't expect our leaders to pray if we don't. Say amen.
Amen.
And pray for our leaders. I want you to look at Ezra chapter number 9 for just a moment. The Bible said in verse number 5, and at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness. I'm going to ask you a question. When's the last time, dear sister, I saw you this morning? I see the love in your face for Sister Jean and the brokenness in your heart. And yes, there's heaviness that comes with the loss of somebody that we love. But when's the last time in your heart heaviness came because of something you were doing that was not pleasing to God, or something you were not doing that you were supposed to be doing? The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When's the last time your heart was heavy? When's the last time a tear trickled down your cheek?
Amen.
You said, oh God, we need your help.
Amen.
It ain't just preachers that needs the help of God. Every daddy in this building needs his help. Every mama needs his help. Every teenager needs his help.
Amen.
Brother Randall, we got folk we love in Texas that need His help. When's the last time our heart was heavy? We realized what a failure. You know what happens when that doesn't happen? Let me tell you what happens. It happens to God's men. It happens to people everywhere. They get this idea, man, I'm just doing so good. The first thing you know, they begin to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Here's a nation, beloved, listen, that Nehemiah is praying for, Ezra's praying for, and they know, God, if You don't intervene, You say, Pastor, listen, it's not that bad. We don't know how bad it is. Oh, I got to witness the woman and the woman thing yesterday. You understand where I'm coming from, don't you? Publicly, unashamedly. I got to witness that yesterday. I got to witness immodesty that was unbelievable yesterday. And listen to what Ezra says. At the evening sacrifice, I rose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle. This in the Old Testament was a sign of mourning, a sign of brokenness. We want the blessing, but we don't want the brokenness. Am I right or am I wrong? We'd like to see a old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven sent, sin-killing revival. Pray 30 seconds. He said, I fell upon my knees and I spread out my hands unto the Lord. Look at verse number 6. Nehemiah learned from a good man, Ezra. And he said, oh my God. You've heard me say this before. Isaiah said, oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens, that Thou wouldest come down. Where has the oh went in our prayer life? Oh, God, would You save my baby? Oh, God, would You send revival? Oh, God, would You help our president? Oh, God, would You help our pastor? Oh, God, would You help that family that's grieving today? Where is that desperation in prayer? Brother Dale, only God knows what you're going through with Miss Kathy. And it hurts. We pour out our hearts to God, understanding that only God can do what needs to be done. Amen. That's what Ezra's teaching here. He said, I watch this. I said, oh my God. Now watch this. I am ashamed and blush. You know where we're at today? We're living in such a wicked, ungodly society. When's the last time you blushed about anything?
Amen.
We've been programmed to accept that mess.
That's right.
Amen. Hollywood. It started years ago. It has a design about it.
Yeah.
To desensitize.
Amen.
To sin. People will allow folks in the movies to come in their living room and do things they would never let them come in their living room and do physically. And let the children watch it. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I'm telling you, it's critical. It starts with a prayer of repentance. Oh, God! What He said here? I am ashamed to blush, to lift up my face to Thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass has grown up into the heavens. By the way, let me say this. When Sodom and Gomorrah was developing into what it was, God didn't judge right away, but He did judge. You and I, as God's people, we don't know how close judgment is. But we do know this, our God, according to the book of Acts, He does not wink at sin. Our time may be way shorter than anyone knows.
Amen.
I have feared for years that America's going to get slapped so hard. We cannot spit in the face, Brother Jack, of a holy God and expect God to just keep blessing and blessing and blessing.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, I wouldn't preach like that on Memorial Day. Maybe that's why I'm standing where I am and you're sitting where you're sitting. The only reason I'm preaching is because what God gave me to preach. I have no other recourse than to give you what God gave me. Men and women that have died for this country would roll over in their grave if they saw some of the things. You look at the millions and millions and millions. Millions. And it's going to turn into billions and billions of fraud.
Amen.
How in the world can anybody with a conscience sit at a desk knowing that they're taking money away from children that need to eat? Knowing that they're taking money away from special needs children. How in the world can they even lay down at night and sleep? Their hearts are hardened and their conscience is seared.
Amen. 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 Yes, sir. Amen.
Repentance. Nehemiah begins with a prayer of repentance. He learned it from Ezra. The Bible said in verse 7 in Ezra chapter 9, since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face. As it is this day. Beloved, let me say something. There's not a one of us that needs to get too big for their britches. And as a country, we don't need to get too big for our britches. Our military might has been on display. I think it was the psalmist that said, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
And now you can have something in Washington, D.C. that honors the Bible or honors the prayer or honors the Word of God. And the infidels stand up hollering, separation of church and state.
Amen.
If you do just a little bit of studying, you will understand that that was to keep, the state out of the church. That was not to keep the church out of the state. If we only knew the communities that are rising up right among us and their whole design and their whole desire is to make a people walk under Sharia law. You say, Pastor, that'll never happen. Honey, it's already happening. We need the Lord. I said we need the Lord. Look, if you will, with me at verse number 8. I love this. Ezra says, and now, for a little space, grace. You know where I believe we are, Brother Caleb? I believe we're in that little space. Grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant Beloved, surely you're wise enough to know that God's people in this country are not the majority. The majority does not believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. The majority does not believe this is God's book, the Holy Bible. The majority does not believe that the church is the body of Christ. We're just a remnant. Heaven's glad to be a little part of that remnant. Amen. And God said, for a little space, grace, to leave us a remnant to escape, to give us a nail. Everybody's glad God nailed some things down in your life. Give us a nail in a holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes. I love this, Brother Chris. Ezra's so burdened. He's not praying for a nationwide revival. He said, just give us a little revival. If we knew what kind of shape we're really in, we'd get before God and say, God, just give me a little reviving. Give me just a little reviving in my heart. Give our church a little reviving. Because we're in trouble. Ezra goes on to say, for we were bondmen. You know what a lot of people forget? They forget where God found them. I tell you one thing that'll keep this preacher from ever getting too big for his britches, from ever thinking of himself more highly than he ought to think, is to remember where God found me. I had a debt I could not pay, and he paid that debt for me. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Amen. I'm going to tell you something sadder than forgetting where God found you is being a bondman after God set you free. You may be sitting in this building today and there's some habit. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's jealousy. And you're just as locked up as you was the day Jesus found you. You got handcuffs on. But I tell you, God don't just set us free and make us on our way to heaven. Honey, I'm glad on the journey. When we get that bondage going on, amen, I'm glad there's a Savior to come along. He said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful, He's just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I love the song, He Didn't Throw Away the Clay. Been times in my life, Brother Ray, I'd have thrown me away. But not the Lord. He didn't throw me away. And He didn't throw you away. The Bible said we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us. And He's glad of that. But hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants, the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. That verse of Scripture right there, that reminds me of something I said years ago. I said, you remember, things just have a way of starting in the city. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But hang around just a few years and it'll come to the country. The Bible said here, the filthiness of the people of the lands, their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons. There's a New Testament scripture for this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And yet lots of moms and dads are more interested
in their career than they are their heart. We'll tell you something right now. They're headed for trouble just like Israel was. Nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that Thou, our God, hast punished us. I want you to look at this. I want an amen right here. How many say God has punished us in this country less than our iniquities deserve? Now make it personal. Amen, Brother David. He's punished this preacher less than his iniquities deserve.
Amen.
You sit there and shine your halo if you want to, honey. But I tell you, there's none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Amen.
The only thing you and I have to boast in is the righteousness that He has imputed to our account.
Amen.
The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said here, less than our iniquities deserve. It reminds me of Dad. I got a track out there in the vestibule that I wrote in memory of my dad. How you doing, John? They'd say that. How you doing, John? Dad'd always say, better than I deserve. And I've heard him several times have somebody say, what do you mean by that? And Dad would tell him, I'm just an old sinner. All I ever deserved was to go to hell and fry forever. But Jesus come along in mercy. And He saved my soul. So it don't matter what's going on in my life, I'll forever be better than I deserve.
Yes.
The Word of God said it has given us such deliverance as this. Should we again break Thy commandments? In other words, there's repentance going on. Now do we just go back and sin some more? I think Paul said it something like this. Should we sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. We don't repent so we can go do it again. As a matter of fact, if that's the idea, then it's not repentance. He said here, should we again break Thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not Thou be angry with us till Thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous. How many can say that this morning?
Amen.
He's righteous. He maketh no mistakes. As it is this day, behold, we are before Thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before Thee. Because of this. Now I'm going to remind you of something. Ezra's not standing. He's kneeling. With his hands outstretched. It would be good this morning if we would kneel with our hands outstretched and pray. Pray for America. Pray for wisdom. And those that will be, they call it the situation room. Those that will be making decisions, maybe already are. You say, I don't like what's going on. You don't have to pray. You don't have to like me to pray for me. Amen?
Amen.
It makes it easier to pray. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's men and women that said this United States of America is worth dying for. And I'm saying to you unapologetically this morning, this pastor saying this United States of America is worth praying for.
Amen.
Father in heaven, as we come and gather around an altar this morning and pray for our nation, how I pray, O God, that we humble ourselves before you, that anything our Father in our life that's displeasing to you, Lord, would be confessed and repented of. God, I pray that you would help our people to realize, our Father, what's at stake. I want to stop, Lord, just a moment and thank you for the men and women that voluntarily, Lord, went, knowing that they may not come back, gave their life, our Lord, for the freedoms that we enjoy today. Lord, there may be somebody here today, and Lord, they don't know it, but you looked at them and you deemed them worth dying for. You went to Calvary. You gave your life so that they didn't have to go on in bondage, so that they could be free from the bondage of sin. I pray, Lord, that you would help them this morning to turn loose of that pride, to turn loose, our Father, that sin, and take hold of a Savior. The Savior that said, the Son shall make you free. May the Son of God work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together.